Bibles with you, I would like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I just want to if you could turn to that, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, before you're seated. Amen. We want to read the first verse, and after that, we'll take a seat. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and I believe we'll have it up there as well. There it goes. Yeah, we'll have it up there too as well. And so we're going to be reading from the New King James Version. Amen. And moving forward series is starting today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. We're going to be doing four consecutive teachings on moving forward. And I'm excited about this sermon. I believe you're going to be blessed by what's going to be said here today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. The race that is set before us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We just want to thank you, first of all, for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's the infallible word of God that will bring back results when we preach it, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I pray that it will land on good ground, good soil, and produce fruit that will bring peace and joy in their life. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, yes. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, endure hardship. Endure hardship. Amen. You go ahead and take a seat after that. Amen. Endure hardship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Moving Forward series, I really wanted to talk about it because during this time, we're in a place of advancement. I believe our church is progressing. We're growing. Things are happening. We have momentum in our church. Things are happening in the men's home. Things are happening within the gang. Things are happening within the church. I see the hunger people have in the church. I see the fire. How many know we're on fire for Jesus? Come on, somebody. I said it again. Come on. Amen. On fire for Jesus. And we're so lit for the Lord that we want people to see our fire. You know, I'm so excited. I've been hanging out with some of the young adults. And man, they stay up till 3 in the morning. And I'm like, I'm done at 11. Amen. I'm done at 11 p.m. After that, you're on your own. But it's just, I love to see the excitement and just the drive to serve God, even at a young age, at 21, 22, 18 years old. I love that. I love that because I know if they can get a hold of God, at an early age, something great's going to happen the rest of their life. I know good things are going to take place, and the blessings of the Lord will be upon their life, and they won't make as many mistakes as we have, amen, serving God at a later age in our lives, amen. How many wish you got saved earlier, right? Amen. Only one of us, amen. Right? How many wish you got saved earlier? I wish I got saved earlier. I wouldn't have had to deal with all the drama I have been through, you know, all the stuff, you know, if I would have just got saved earlier. And moving forward is something that we always have to kind of get to that place where we say, okay, I got to move forward. Easter is a month that, you know, right before Easter, we're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday. And during, if you read your Bible and read the occurrences right before Easter, we read all the things that Jesus went through. You know, he went through a time where he was enduring. He was trying to get to that place where he was looking at the cross. He was looking at death. And he was believing that through this death and resurrection of his life, that we're going to see many lives transformed by the power of God. How many glad that Jesus rose from the grave? Come on. How many glad that God did something good? But it was a difficult thing for Jesus to put himself on the cross. You see, sometimes we go through hardship and it's not an option. It's something that happens, right? But Jesus had an option to put himself on the cross. And he put himself on the cross knowing that the pain and the suffering and the shame and all those things will happen. But he saw you. He had you in mind. And because of the finished work of Jesus Christ here today, we are blessed today. I thank God for the finished work of Jesus Christ. I thank God that he didn't give up halfway. I thank God Billy Graham didn't give up. Aren't you thinking he died at 99 years old, man? The guy left a legend. And he meant to millions of people he reached. I thank God Pastor Sonny Argonzoni didn't give up. right? Because of him, we have churches like Victory Outreach all over the world doing a great work for God's honor and glory, using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. How many thank God for this ministry? That people that believe in the calling of God and believe they didn't give up. And so giving up is what the devil wants us to do. And when, here the scripture, it talks about running. How many here like to run? Right? How many have ever been in a race and you ran? Raise your hand. Was it ever easy to run?
No.
When I was in high school, I'd always race people. And racing was good at the beginning. I could run, sprint. But towards the end, oh, it's like agony, isn't it? Like that line, even though it's close, but it seems like it's a mile away. You're like trying to get to the line. Your heart is beating and everything. It's just trying to get there. It's sometimes very difficult. It's really tough. And the word race means, actually in the Greek, it means agony. When it refers to race, it means agony. It means pain. How many know we're all going to have to pay a price one day? Amen. Either going to be a financial price, a relational price, a family price. I remember giving my life to Jesus, and my parents didn't really believe that I should serve God the way I was serving God. You see, my parents were religious. My mom was a very religious person. My grandmother was a very religious person. They went through a Catholic religion, and so they taught me all those things, which was I'm grateful for, because they planted a seed in me. You see, and their religion, they only went to church on Sunday and lived like the devil on Monday. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not that all Catholics do that. I'm not saying that all Catholics do that, but that's what I saw in my family. You see, they proclaimed to be religious, but on Monday, they were smoking and drinking and doing all their stuff. Amen. I saw all, even on Sunday night, right? They got clean on Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, it was done. Amen. It was over, right? And so they started living that life. And I said, is that religion? I didn't see it as something that was worth even following. I remember I getting dedicated or went to catechism and did all that. And I thank God they introduced me to Jesus, because I found out what Jesus did for me. I found out that he died on the cross. I found out that he rose from the grave. That was really good. But when my mom saw that I was serving God with all my heart, mind, and soul, that I started obeying the word of God, and I started reading it for myself, she started getting mad at me. She did. She got mad at me. And she goes, "Oh, that's your religion." And I go, "It's not a religion. It's a relationship. You got it all wrong, Mom." She goes, "I'm your mother, and I got it right." I said, "No, Mom, you got it wrong." And she goes, "No, that's your Bible." I go, "Well, give me your Bible and let's read your Bible." This is the debate I had with my mom. See? My mom was crazy. So she's just like getting in my face, and I was getting in her face too. I was trying to do it respectful, but it couldn't happen. I don't know what happened. Amen. I started just going out and just doing it. And then I shared her Bible, and I said, "What does the Bible say about idols? And let's read in your Bible what it says about idols. Let's read what the Bible says about salvation. And what does it mean to be saved? Let's read in your Bible." And they all said that in her Bible. And she goes, she's got mad at me. And she goes, she threw down the Bible and she goes, "This is just who I am." And I said, "But that's not who God wants you to be." Oh, she got mad. I didn't have dinner for a long time. Amen. She got mad. She was upset. She was mad at the pastor. She was mad at the church. She was mad. And you're getting brainwashed. She got mad at me. And she wanted me to give up the church because she thought it was a cult, you know. And she goes, "This is a cult. You're doing this. And I got to talk to your pastor. And let me tell him. Let me give him peace of my mind." I go, "Go ahead. Here's his phone number. Call him." Right? He's not the one changing me. It's Jesus changing me. Jesus is changing my life. It's Jesus that's doing the work in me. Because I don't want to do this thing that I was doing before. I want to change. And so my mom, I remember she used to tell me, "What do you want to do? You want to be a priest?" Yeah, amen. Because that's what the Bible says. We're all priests, right? If you serve God, you become a priest. You become separated unto God. And then she was like, getting mad at me all the time. And I ended up having to move out. I had to move out of my mom's house because she didn't understand what it was to really serve God. And now, I'm telling you, my mom now totally respects me. She gives me a lot of honor, a lot of respect. Even though she tells me sometimes, she goes, "I know you're a pastor, but I'm still your mom." And I'm like, "Okay, all right. We got that." But she respects me because she sees all the miracles that God did. You know, because when I went to go pray for my dad when he was on his deathbed, and God changed everything. The blue light turned off and healing took place in his body. And now he's still alive today because I laid hands on him and God did a miracle. I remember laying hands on my brother-in-law when he got 32 bullet holes in his body. And he was there, found DOA. Amen. And he only had his heart that didn't get shot. Everything else got shot. And God did a miracle. They said that the priest said that he would never, not the priest, but the doctor said that he would never live. And the priest came and gave him his last rites. And it was like, it was a done deal. He was dead. And I remember coming to that place and God did a miracle. And she was there to see that. And then my brother, when he got saved, the whole thing about his salvation, the miracle that took place, that he had an out-of-body experience, and he would share with everyone that where everybody was at. And then he came back and he told me that everything that I said was true. And then my mom, she just couldn't deny that what I was doing was the right thing. You see, but I had to endure, man. I had to endure the persecution of people. To be honest with you, I had to endure ignorance. That people just don't know the word of God. They don't know. That's why maybe you're getting persecution at your job. They don't know. They're getting persecution with your family. They don't know. You see, it's just what you're fighting against is pure ignorance. People just they don't know the word of God for themselves. Other people have read the word of God for them and interpreted it in a different way. They twisted the word of God. But how many know we need the word of God for ourselves, right? We need to read it for ourselves so that we can discover the truth for ourselves. And so because I endured that, I was able to reach my family. My cousin, he's a pastor. He's a pastor of a church there in Hayward and a Spanish pastor there. Templo de la Cruz is the name of the church. And the church has been there for 100 years. And he took over the church. And I was a part of reaching him. And so that's why he's saved. And I thank God my brother-in-law is a pastor now in Mesa. Amen. I was able to reach him because I took a stand being in my family. I'm seeing people get saved in my family. I see people move in my family. I see my wife's family getting touched by God. Why? Because I didn't give up. I didn't give up. I see my children blessed today because why? I didn't give up on the race. And see, this race, it's agony. It's painful sometimes because you got to endure uncertainty. And you know, in the book of Hebrews, I encourage you to read it. Chapter 12, we're going to get into chapter 12, but previous to chapter 12, chapter 11, they were talking about the people that endured this time of torture, endured imprisonment, endured being stoned, even sawed in two. They were given an example of all these people that endured all this stuff, and they stood still all the way to the end. They believed God all the way. Even some of them didn't obtain the promise, the Bible says, but they still were obedient to God. So I encourage you to read chapter 11. It will encourage you because your little trials that you're going through is nothing compared to what a lot of other people have gone through for their faith. Amen? So one thing that they all had in common, they all had this one thing in common. All the previous people before them had this in common. Everybody say endurance. Endurance. They had that in common. They would endure. That's why the Bible talks about endurance in the race. You got to just endure. And see, it's not a competition, right? It's not everybody's competing. We're not competing against each other, but we just want to finish. We want to finish this thing, amen. We want to start and we want to finish this thing. That's why in the home, if you could just finish the home, just maybe you'll have a blessed life after that. Just, it gives you a fighting chance. Just to finish the home. Finish the home. Get through it, amen. If you can't handle the little trials in the home, how are you going to handle the trials in life? You know, get through it, amen. And one of the commentaries mentioned this about endurance. He says, is the steady determination to keep going forward. That's what he says. Just keep going forward. Another person defined it this way. The power to withstand pain or hardship. The ability to endure fatigue, stress, and adversity. You see, in this life, we're going to experience all kinds of stuff that are going to try to stop us from running this race. How many know it's worth it? It's worth running the race. It's worth running the race. You know, I was going to have somebody dress up and have little Daisy Duke shorts, but I thought that one might have been not appropriate for the church service. Amen. So, but you know how the Bible talks about, you know, that you got to take off the weight. And if you look at a racer, they're racing, but they're taking off all the excess clothes and they're ready. They're focused and they're ready to start. And so, but one of the things that they need to do, and I have to do it myself, is that we have to motivate ourselves. And so how to run the race with endurance, right? Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Be motivated. Just be motivated. If you're writing notes here today, write that down. Be motivated. Hebrews 11, 12, verse 1 again says, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It's plural, which means a lot of people. But when you read that scripture, if you begin to dive into it, it'll tell you that it's not referring to people that are present here on the earth, but it's referring to people that died already before us. So he was referring to Moses that endured. Amen. They went through all that. There was a time when Moses had to open up the Red Sea. And then Moses was crying because he didn't know what to do. How many know people that cry about problems?
Yeah.
You got quiet because it might be you. You might be the crybaby, right? Because you have problems. Man, everybody has problems. But now he was there and all the Israelites right behind him. And he was there. The Red Sea was in front of him. And I love what the scripture says. Because God said, stop crying. Stop your crying. Stop your complaining and open up the Red Sea. You see, right there, boom. God said, you know what? Stop complaining. Stop crying and get through it. Somebody say, get through it. Stop that. If you're a man of God in the house, so how many men of God we have in the house? Come on, I'm looking for men that could lead the way. You need to be a Moses and get through it, amen? Get through that Red Sea. Lead your family across the other side. Amen. You see, God is looking for men that would rise up. And here was an example. Moses was an example. Abraham was an example. He left his family and he obeyed God. For the obedience, God used him to create a nation. God did a miracle with Abraham. God did a miracle with Paul. And God did a miracle with Peter. These men endured hardship. They were there struggling, but they kept on going. Everybody say, keep on going. One of the examples that I have before me was David Wilkerson. See, David Wilkerson helped start the ministry of Victory Outreach. And he reached out to Nicky Cruz and Pastor Sonny. And these two men were very difficult to reach, but because of somebody's obedience, because he endured the race and he kept going, he was able to reach men that were impacting the world today. Amen? And that's why we have Teen Challenge today, because of David Wilkerson. Because of the man's obedience, he encourages me that one day maybe I can affect the world too. I mean, we all have that capability of affecting somebody or even the world. Billy Graham just passed away. He was a legend, amen, in his time. And I'm so glad to live in that time, to see the man of God. And there are a lot of good things they said about him. And one of the things that they said about him is that he stayed the same. He was the same guy at the church, out there doing crusades, and at home. I love that. They said that about his son said that about him. Because he was the same guy everywhere he went. He had the same message of the cross. He didn't detour from it. And every president that encountered him, he didn't water down the gospel. He told them the truth. And then they also said, he wasn't talking to me as a president. He was talking to me as a person. You see, Billy Graham was a man that ran the race and he ran it well. And he died at the age of 99. And he did great exploits. And he had great steps of faith when he did the revival there in L.A. And he started this movement that now took place all over the world. And he had revivals everywhere. And literally thousands to millions of people got saved. How many thank God for Billy Graham? Amen. That he endured. He's my motivation. He's my motivation. I look at these guys. I say, man, they're the ones that set the pace. Now, Pastor Sonny, he's still alive, I know. And I thank God for that. But Pastor Sonny, man, he went through so much. And if you read the story, Treasures Out of Darkness, I encourage you to read it. It talked about his life and then how that he endured so much and he was going to lose his marriage and he was going to lose the ministry. But, you know, how many know God has a way of throwing the towel back at us? Amen? We throw the towel and he throws it right back at our face. You know, like, don't give up. No, I ain't calling you to be quitting. I'm calling you to move forward. And so Pastor Sonny trailblazed the way for us to have a ministry like this now. You see, this ministry is a model. He modeled the way for us to have this ministry the way it is. And he showed the way. He guided us. He showed us. He discipled us. And I thank God because he endured this. Because back then, once a drug addict, always a drug addict. But see, he proved them wrong. That's why I have a problem sometimes with, God bless AA and NA. I really believe in reaching people and giving them a hope. That's fine. But the only problem I have with what they do is that they tell you, you need to declare that you are an alcoholic or a drug addict still. That's the only thing I disagree on. Because it goes contrary to the word of God. Because if that was the case, I would say, I'm still the person I was. I can still say I was lost and I was hurting. But now I don't want to say that no more. I want to say I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Lord, that He called me to be the head and not the tail. It is God that called me to be the man I am today. I'm not going to proclaim that I'm not a drug addict. I'm not a gang member. I'm not none of those things. I'm not a womanizer anymore. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. You know, that's the only problem I have with them. But God bless you if you're a part of that. It's okay, you know. But, you know, that one part, take that out. Amen. Because you need to believe the word of God instead of that. Amen. But one of the things to stay motivated is that you need to be fat. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you got to get fat. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you got to get fat. Even if it offends them. Tell them you got to get fat.
You got to get fat.
Yep. Tell them. Even if they don't want to talk to you, tell them. You got to get fat.
You got to get fat.
Oh, he already has it up there. Look at that. Okay. Faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. You want to stay motivated? Stay faithful. Stay available to do the ministry. You got to make yourself available because sometimes we have a busy life. I have a busy life. Believe me. I got things going on all day, every day. I got meetings. I got things. Not only meetings within the church. I have meetings regionally. I have meetings with different pastors, different things. I'm doing different projects for different churches. I'm working. I'm doing a lot of work. You guys don't know this, but I'm doing a lot of work. But I make myself available to who? You guys. Because it keeps you motivated. So as long as I continue to keep myself available, it keeps me in the blood flow of the ministry that I'm called to do. Not only that, just being faithful and available and being teachable. How many, nobody's ever arrived? Right? Have you arrived? Nah. If you're arrived, you think you know more than me, or you think you know more than a neighbor, it's okay. Maybe you should be a teacher too. Maybe you should be preaching. You know, sometimes we get to that place where we're not teachable, but how many know we need to stay humble? We need to be in that stature of humility. Say, whatever situation I might find myself in, even if I have more knowledge than that person, there's always something to learn. If you keep yourself in that stature and that posture, then you would be more of a person that will be encouraged because the growth will take place not only just on the outside, but on the inside. Amen? So how many know we need to be fat? You know, that's what they said about Billy Graham. That's why I got inspired by that. I knew this already, but they said it in his funeral. And his son said, the one thing I know about my dad, he was fat. And they were like, what? And he said this. He says, oh yeah, no, he was always faithful, always available, and always teachable. That was his motivation, amen? And the other thing to get motivated is that we need to be in Bible studies. We need to be constantly in the Word, amen? Be in weekly services and activities. There's a lot of things that you can get involved in our church. There's a lot of great things that you can get involved in. See, church is not just made for Sunday. You know, church is just not made for Saturday. Church is not just made for Friday. It's for every day. Did you know that? It's getting quiet up in here. Amen. Because it's like, how many here fast all week? Nobody does. Amen. You don't fast all week, but sometimes we fast from the Word of God all week. You're only eating on Sunday. Imagine if you just eat on Sunday. You probably lose weight, but you won't look healthy. Amen. Right? That's how we look spiritually. That's why when you come to church, you're like, you're struggling. You're just struggling because you haven't eaten all week. Imagine if you haven't eaten all week, you're going to be like all week, right? You'll be like trying to make it, you know, to the next place you got to go to. You're so weak. Well, that's how it is spiritually. If you don't feed yourself on a weekly basis, you're going to find yourself starving. That's why you come to church all starving. Feed me, Jesus. Help me. Speak to me. I need a word from heaven, God. And that's okay sometimes to be that way, but not every Sunday. In fact, that tells me you're starving. You're starving. You're starving. And that's why we wonder why we're going through so much, because you have no defense. You're not fighting against the devil with the Word of God. You're not getting in there. You're not coming to Friday night prayer and interceding with Jesus and getting there, getting the victory, knowing that the battle rages, but come on, the soldier needs to come out of us, amen, and begin to proclaim what God has given us to do warfare. And so we need to be a part of what's going on. So we have Bible studies going on. We're going to be doing Bible studies starting in the month of April. We just put a pause on it, but we're going to the streets. Amen? So what we're doing is on Thursday nights, we had Bible studies here. As the gang is doing their thing, we're out there in the streets passing out flyers and ministering to people. And I encourage you to be a part of that. But coming in April, we're going to be doing some classes so that we can learn and so that we can grow. How many here want to grow? You want to grow? Then be a part. Get a part. Be a part of what's happening. Don't tell me you're the only busy person in the church. Come on, somebody. I just did it again. Don't tell me you're the only busy person in the church. We're all busy. We're all busy, but it's time to make yourself available so that you can get the word of God in you so that it could work through you. The second thing is that we need to remove unnecessary weights. Remove unnecessary weights. And it talks about the sin. Everybody say sin.
Sin.
Hebrews chapter 10, 12, verse 1 again. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. What is the sin that he's talking about? The sin of disobedience. You're being disobedient to the Lord in areas that you know you need to be obedient in. And it's a disobedient type of lifestyle that you're not really caring about what God wants. You're more caring about what you want. And it becomes a weight upon us. And all of a sudden, every time it's time to serve God, it's hard. How many have ever experienced that? Like, sometimes it's hard to serve Jesus. Right? You're like, it's so hard to be right with God. Man, it's so hard to serve God. In my house, it's so hard to serve the Lord. Just maybe you're dealing with some sin in your life that you need to unload. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that you need to get rid of. There's somebody that's in your life that you don't need in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You might have brought them to church today. But I'm just saying. But somebody that you brought in or bring it into your life that's draining you from all your energy. Every time they talk to you, talk about problems. Every time they talk to you, let's go out and club. Let's go to the parties. And all those things are draining you. And they're going to catch you at the wrong moment where you feel very vulnerable and very weak and discouraged. And they say, hey, you want to go clubbing? Oh, you know what? I'm going to go. You see? So this weight that constantly weighs upon you, constantly gets on you, and it's so hard to serve Jesus. It's so hard because the Bible says it wants to ensnare you. It wants to put you in a trap. It wants to get you to the place where you're feeling horrible now. And that's the thing about it. The devil wants to condemn you. He wants to make you feel bad about serving God. He wants to make you look like a fool. He says, look at you, you hypocrite. You're out here in the church and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Okay, drop the mic. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right there. Amen. So we get quiet. Amen. It's okay to be quiet. But let's begin to get excited about getting stuff off us. Because I'm done with this life. I'm done with the old life. I'm done with these people. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to get this weight off me. I'm going to get that lifestyle off me. I'm going to get that TV away from me. I'm going to get those things that are causing me to stumble. Those people. I'm going to get these things away from me. I'm not going to play anymore. If you're going to, see, the thing about racing is that sometimes in Victory Outreach, or just in general, maybe even as a Christian, sometimes we just want to do a sprint. But I mean, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon.
Yes.
We're going for the long haul. Right? We're going for the... Go like this with me. Go like this. Just go like that. Go like that. Just go like this. Just humor me and do this. Amen. Just do this. Amen. God wants you to run like that. The whole time. Just keep going. Just keep jogging. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. And get all this stuff off you and feel, okay, I could serve God. Get to that place where you get all unnecessary weights off you. And guess what? Serving God becomes easy.
Amen.
Yes. We all say, whew, can't wait to go to church. You know what? I got a word. I got a word for someone. You come walking into this church, you're like, I want to pray for somebody today. Come on. You just want to just pray for somebody. You want to lay hands on somebody. You want to encourage somebody. You're going to be up there worshiping, dancing, and because you've got what you needed throughout the week. So you're not coming to church receiving. You're coming to church to give. Yes. See, I understand in the beginning it's like that. It's fine. I understand you're just getting, you know, a hang of just serving God. But eventually you should be on the other side now.
Yes.
Be on the giving side. And go, because you got it all off you now. You got all that stuff off you. You got that relationship off you now. You got that thing that's causing you to stumble off you now. You're serving God. You're feeling good. You're here. You're jumping up and down. You're praising God. You're in the prayer. You're getting it. Amen. And then you're going to be a person to be able to contribute now to people. How many want to be on that end? I want to be on that end. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get off me.
Get off me.
Not you, amen, necessarily, but get that thing off me. Amen. The third thing is just look to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many thank God for that? Amen. In verse 3, for considering him who endured such hostility from sinners and against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Jesus endured it all for us. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. The problem is, the reason why we get off the race, because we have our eyes on man. If you have your eyes on man, you'll always be discouraged. Because how many know we're not perfect? Nobody's perfect. The leader's not perfect. We're not perfect. We're doing our best, but I'm not perfect. I might fail you. And there's pastors that have failed me, that have left. And I've seen people fall even in our own church. And I even heard something this morning that irked my spirit. When somebody, they told me about a person that was coming to church and what they're doing now. It hurts me to find that people are just, they gave up the race and they're out there in the world. It hurts me to see that that's taking place. And, you know, when people get into that place, and maybe they're looking, they keep their eyes on the ministry to solve all their problems, or they're looking to man to solve all their problems, or they're looking to their husband or their wife to solve all their problems. But how many know they're not going to solve the problem that you have in your heart? It's only Jesus that can solve that problem, that hurt, that pain, the thing that you're dealing with today. It's only Jesus that can do that miracle in your life. It's only Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And you'll always be motivated. You'll always be encouraged. You'll always be the one moving, going. And even when my pastor left the church, he left the church, I still serve the Lord. Sometimes just because the pastor leaves the church doesn't mean you stop serving Jesus. Then I would question your salvation. Were you serving your pastor or were you serving Jesus? Right? Right? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Is this mic on? Amen. You're serving Jesus, right? So doesn't matter. See, even if we don't have this church, you will still serve the Lord. And that's what's super important. You got to keep your eyes off man. Keep your eyes off your situation. And know that this very thing, in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete the work in us. How many know we're a project? You are a project. I'm a project. Amen. I got some issues that I'm still working on. And I'm a project in the work. God is working in my life still. But that means that because he's working in me, he's working in you. How many thank God for our church? You see, I keep my eyes on Jesus. See, when my wife, God bless her, she's not here. Oh, she's here. I can't talk. Can I change the subject now? I wish she wasn't here. I'm just playing. Amen. She's here. So what I was going to say, I forgot. It's beautiful. Amen. But my wife, amen, she... You know, she comes to a place where, how many know in marriage you can fight?
Yeah.
Right? How many have ever been married or are married right now? Raise your hand. And was it easy? Is it easy? It's not easy. One of the most discouraging times in my life where I wanted to quit is when my own family comes against me like that. When you have your wife or when you have your kids. Not to say my wife comes against me, but sometimes we fight right before I come to preach. Did you know that? Sometimes we'll argue. Like, you just... We didn't fight today. I think we did good today. Amen. We're on point today. I just smiled at her. She smiled at me. You know, like, okay, we're good. But there's times where we do argue. Right before I'm about to preach, do you think I want to preach after that? Oh, no.
No, no.
I'm feeling horrible. I might have said something. I regret it. And then she goes, oh, you're in the flesh. And I'm like, no, I'm in the spirit. You're in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. I'm in the spirit. And she goes, no, you're in the flesh. And I go, oh. Then I have to come to this pulpit and face you guys after I deal with that. You see, can I keep it real with you guys? See, that's real stuff, right?
Yeah.
See, a lot of pastors don't tell you this stuff, but I'll tell you that. Because, you know, I want to tell you that I'm no different than you guys. I deal with issues and problems. And the most discouraging moments in my life is when I have to deal with issues with my family. When my son was in the place where he was doing his thing and my daughters were in that place. And I remember going, my son stole the car at night and I had to deal with it. And I'd stay up all night waiting for him to come home, worried about him, thinking he died or whatever. And I had to be behind the pulpit that morning because I was one of the ministers of the church. And I just, you know, I was tempted to call and say, you know what, Pastor, I can't be there because, you know, I had a rough night, you know. But I didn't. I came to church, wiped my tears off me, and said, you know what? The devil is a liar. I'm not going to give him that satisfaction. I'm not going to make him take me from church. See, I endured that time in my life. You know what it did for me? It gave me a spiritual backbone. It gave me something that says, wait a minute, I'm not going to allow this stuff to take me out. You see, the devil is a liar, and I'm not going to give him that satisfaction from me going to church, not going to church. I'm not going to give him that satisfaction taking my joy. You know what I did? I came to church to pray for him, and I came and I prayed for him, and I prayed for him, and I prayed for him, and he finally got saved. You see, but that was probably one of the hardest times of my life because I felt so discouraged that how can I reach other people? My very own family is lost. Can somebody say amen to that? Come on. You feel discouraged when the devil comes at you from the back end. See, I can deal with the front end, but from the back end where nobody knows and he's hitting me from all different directions and he's hitting you from here and there and here and there and all of a sudden you're getting bombarded and you're there and you still got to get through this. You just got to fight through this. Just got to get here. I just got to come to church, man. I got to get through the traffic. I got to get through that. I got to get through that. I got to get here. See, it's hard sometimes. You think I have a supernatural DNA? I don't. Amen. I got the same DNA. I got, you know, human frailties and weaknesses. But by the grace of God, he's kept me here today. And if I could do it, by all means, you could do it too. Somebody shout amen. You can do it. You can make it. You can fight through it. You can get through that. You can get through all that stuff. It's nothing, amen. God can turn that around. God can open up the door. And by faith, I am here today. You see, hardship is not easy to overcome. You got to remember the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you are a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hardship comes in three different ways. Number one, it comes through life challenges. It comes through, you're going to have challenges in life. Guess what? Your baby's mama's going to call you and ask you for more money. Right? Your sugar daddy's going to just say, I want a divorce. Amen. I'm done. You're going to have some issues. You're going to have some problems. Things are going to take place in your life. You're going to have some life challenges. Your car's going to break down. Your tire's going to go flat. Things are going to happen. Your car might even be repoed. Amen. You might get a foreclosure notice on your house. There's things that take place. You might get a notice that you're going to get laid off. How many know that's real stuff, right? You're going to have some challenges in life. We all do. And the enemy comes in and he makes it worse. And he'll come in and he'll start adding, you know, salt on that wound. He starts throwing salt on it after that. Boom, and it hurts even more. The devil just comes and he says, oh, this is my opportunity to come in and make it worse. And that's what the devil does. He'll just add more to it. He'll add more fuel to the fire. He says, oh, man, not only am I dealing with it, the devil's coming at me and he's doing all kinds of stuff. He's telling me stuff and he got to deal with this. Life has a way to bring these hardships. And the third thing is this, it's God-allowed hardships. Do you know God allows hardship?
Yeah, amen.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Let me prove it to you in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. He says, if you endure the chastising, what is chastising? How many of you have ever whipped their kids? Amen. Yeah. Don't raise your hand. It's okay. You might get arrested. Hallelujah. But how many have ever disciplined your kids? There you go. That's better, right? You discipline your kids? See, God disciplines us. He says, God deals with us as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chastise? He allows us to be disciplined. And verse 11, I love what the verse 11 says. It says, now no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, ever say nevertheless. Afterwards, because there's a before and there's an after. Right? You're going to go through it. You're going to go through some things, and God allowed these things to come in your life. But afterwards, it yields what? Peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have what? Been trained by it. You see? You have to be trained by it. How is your training? How are you being trained today? Because I'm running this race right now. And God is training me through the process. I'm jumping over hurdles. See, if I was more physically fit, I could jump over, and I don't want to fall here right now. But I could jump over, I could physically get fitter, I could get stronger, I get things in my life. I start enduring. Why? Because I'm learning how to jump over these hurdles and problems and situations. Even God allowed problems just to chastise me, to get me right with Him. God might expose something about me, and He'll say, look, see, this is an area of your life that you need to change, your anger, your issues, the things, your jealousy, all those things that causes you problems. God is just trying to get your attention. He says, look, these are the things that you're dealing with. If you don't deal with these things, I can't bless you the way I want to bless you. You see, how many of you want to get blessed? It says right here, peaceable fruit. That means God wants to give you peace in your life. God wants to bless your life with righteousness. God wants to give you that thing that makes you feel good again. God wants to give you the pleasures forevermore. The Bible says in His right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. God wants to bless you and prosper you. But He says, first of all, I need to train you. I need to get you ready. I need you. See, I don't want to just bless you, but I want you to keep the blessing. You see, we can want things and have things, but we don't keep anything because we haven't properly been trained. Because I always say this, either when problems come, issues come, and we blame God, we have a choice either to get bitter or better. And so we need to get better. We need to say, God, what can I learn from this tragedy? What can I learn from this problem? What can I learn from this issue? What can I learn from this thing that's causing this pain in my life? I could grow from it, or I could stay stuck in it. You see, we have to learn that these things will cause us to fall. And everybody will know that because of these problems, you have these issues that are coming in your life, you're gonna stop running, you're gonna stop going, stop moving forward. How many here wanna move forward?
Yes.
Raise your hands, I wanna move forward.
Yes.
I wanna move forward.
Yes.
You see, and you gotta take off the weights, you gotta take off those things that cause you to constantly weigh yourself down. Get involved, be fat, faithful and available, teachable. Be these things, amen, knowing that God will allow these hardships to come in your life, and just be trained by it. Be, yes, take it. Take it like a woman, amen. Take it like a man, amen. Come on, take it like a person that's willing to endure.
Yes.
You see,
yes.
I always tell people, man up, even if it's a woman, amen. Man up, eh? Woman up. Just got to man up and get through it.
Yes.
Nobody wants a quitter, but everybody wants to see you succeed. Why? Because you're modeling for me how to make it. And that's what we become. We become models to the world, models to our children, models to our family, how we can make this life really work out in Jesus' name.
Yes.
So if I could have my daughter make her way up here this morning, I want to leave you with this, and I just want to just close out in just a few minutes. But I really want to leave you with this, that I thank God for Victory Outreach Conquered, because I went through some hell to get here. I really did. I had to get through some real bad hardships. There was a time where there was witchcraft put upon me, and I felt it every day I woke up. There was a time where I was like tortured by voices. Things would come at me, voices would come at me. And there was times where it was like I got up and just totally discouraged. I felt this overwhelming feeling of just giving up. Am I alone on that one? I felt this overwhelming feeling of just wanting to give up. And I remember getting through those times in my life. It was so, so hard. And the finances weren't coming in like it, you know, I wanted it to. I was arguing with my wife. And I remember my health not being as good. And I remember just dealing with all these things. And I would question God in those moments of my life. I really did. I questioned God. Are you with me, God? Are you really, 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 are you with me in this? Because, and not only I'm just trying to live my life, but I'm trying to do something for you. And sometimes we blame God and say, God, I'm just trying to do something for you, God. I'm just trying to get it right. And then we blame Him. And then the Lord just kind of just showed me. I remember just sitting there in prayer. And I remember fasting. I remember just fasting for a long time. I said, God, what are you going to do? What are you doing, God? I didn't give up this part of my life for me just to quit. I'm not used to quitting. I don't quit. That's not even an option. It's not even a choice. I don't give it an option. I don't want to quit. But the devil keeps telling me to quit. I just feel an overwhelming feeling of just being discouraged. Really, that's the saddest thing, to see a pastor be discouraged. It's so hard to be encouraged in front of people. Did you know that? It's a hard thing to be an encourager when you're discouraged. Right? When you're trying to encourage everyone around you, but deep in your heart, you're discouraged. Man, that's tough. That's real hard. Because you got to break out of yourself and just kind of get to that. I don't want to let nobody know what I'm really going through. That time in my life was very, very difficult. But I remember fasting and praying and seeking God. And I said, if witchcraft is coming upon me, I'm gonna. The Bible talks about the warfare. I said, you know what is the Bible says? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through the pulling down the strong. But God says they're mighty. That means they're mightier than the works of darkness. So I gotta use my weapon of fasting. I gotta use my weapon of prayer. I gotta use my weapon of worship. Because that worship, sometimes, how many know sometimes we don't want to worship? I don't. My emotions are not like all excited on the inside. I need to worship right now. Sometimes my emotions are so twisted on the inside. Sometimes I just don't want to worship because, man, I just went through hell and I don't even want to lift my hands right now. My hands don't even feel heavy. Let's lift them up. You know, but how many know that's our worship? That's you're in war. I'm battling now. Even raising your hands, you're battling. You're saying, God, I'm not going to let the devil steal my worship. And you get to that point. But I say all this to say this, okay? I say all this to say this. Running this race is not easy. Even as a pastor, I have to endure hardship. I go through trials. I just explained some of them, but not all of them. I go through some things that are just private between me and the Lord. But there are certain things that I will reveal to you, and that's just me being real with you. But we're all together in this. We're all fighting together. We're a church. We're a body. We're a family that encourages each other. We get through this so that we can see the other side. So we can fight. So that we can see your family be blessed and see your home be blessed. We want to see great things take place in your life. We get through this. And God showed me that it's because the reason why I go through trials, the reason why I go through all this, is that God wants to deepen me so he can widen me. He wants to deepen me through trials so he can widen my grasp. So I have a bigger flow going out of me. Not just a shallow flow. I only know one verse. I only know two verses. But I could have a whole library of scriptures coming out of me. I could have a whole experience of what God did in me and through me. Now I could become a river, not just a lake. I could become something that people could just come to and get restored. You see, God wants to deepen me so that he can widen me. You see, that's what God wants to do in us sometimes. He's just getting you deeper. Not being a shallow Christian no more. But being somebody that's going to be deep. And it doesn't matter if you get a flat tire, you're going to catch the bus to church. Right? It doesn't matter if you got in an argument with your wife or your husband. You're going to go to church anyway, with them or without them. Can I keep it real? Is that all right?
Yes.
Even without them. No, you stay home. I'm going to church. You see, that's the stuff that winners are made out of. Really, champions are made out of. Those that endure, those who finish the race. You just keep going. Just keep running, just keep running. Man, it's so hard. My wife and I, we keep going through it, and issues and problems. And we gotta get along, and with the devils coming at us, and things happen, and we just keep running, we just keep going. But we see what's ahead of us. And that's what Jesus said. For the joy that was set before me, I endured the shame. I endured the pain. I endured all that because the joy was the cross. Somebody shout amen to that. The joy was the cross. Why? Because he saw the other side of that cross. He saw what was going to be on the other side. And guess who was on the other side? You. You were on the other side, all messed up, all tweaked out, all hurting, all confused. In that place of suicide, in that place of confusion and depression, he saw you on the other side of that cross. So he kept going all the way to the cross. He endured the cross so that we could have a chance to live for him. How many thank God? Give the Lord a good hand. Just keep keep running. Just keep going. It doesn't matter if your family's doing whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter who or what. It doesn't matter if people fall all around you. You don't fall. You just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Turn your neighbor. Tell them, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop.
Amen.
Let's all bow our heads at this time.